to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, episode 44, conference call with Richard Sherman and Alan Menken. This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is the internet's leading provider of audiobooks. One of my favorite books to read is the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. I've mentioned this quite a few times. Mace has made fun of me quite a few times for mentioning it. But really, this is one of my absolute favorite books. Did you just move into a new school? Are you wanting to make new friends? Are you looking for a new job? Wanting to become more personable? Do people just not like you? All joking aside, the first time I read it, I was in the 7th grade. And I have since reread it multiple times. And every time I read it, the principles and the real-life examples in it always leave an impression and help me know how to understand people and solve problems without ruining relationships. Not only is it a standard among personal development books, it is seriously one of my favorite books. For your free download of this audiobook, go to therotoscopers.com/audible for your free audiobook. Welcome to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers. Disney, DreamWorks, Pixar, Don Bluth, and everything in between. Today is a very special episode brought to us by D23 Expo. Hey guys, this is Chelsea. It's just me today, and I am bringing you a very special interview that I was able to take part of this last week. Every other year, the official fan club of Disney, D23, puts on a huge expo. And this thing, I mean, when I say huge, I mean huge. There's going to be a couple thousand people there. Everything that's coming up in the Disney realm, they've got it covered there. This year, they've got a lot of different events and presentations coming up, and it looks pretty amazing. Morgan is actually there right now, and so she's going to be posting a few things on the website, as well as possibly the YouTube channel. By the way, we just hit over 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. Woohoo! Some of the events that are going to be posted during that weekend are the cast of the Marvel Universe. We've also got, they're going to be showing a bunch of stuff about Inside the Ice, the art of Disney's Frozen. So we're excited to get a few new things with that in there. Then they also have the Disney Legends Awards Ceremony, hosted by Disney CEO Bob Iger. This year, stars like Billy Crystal and John Goodman, as well as visionary Steve Jobs and television icon Dick Clark, and a few others, Tony Baxter, Colin Campbell, the wonderful Glenn Keane, and Ed Wynn, will all be named and honored as official Disney legends. So we're excited for that as well. The art of Pixar's The Good Dinosaur is going to be showing up, so we'll have a few cool things showing up there. But the thing that I'm most excited about has to be the review of the Disney songbook with the one and only Richard Sherman and Alan Menken. Wow, this is really going to be amazing. These guys basically have written probably half of the songs in the Disney songbook. Pretty amazing guys. Morgan is actually going to be on location there, and so she'll be posting a few things on the website as well as possibly the YouTube channel. So make sure to keep your eyes out there. But for everybody else, like me, that's not able to go to this, getting ready for the D23 Expo, Disney was able to put together this conference call. Sadly, I wasn't able to ask a question, but it was so amazing to be a part of, and I wanted to be able to share it with you guys too, because it was so cool.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude. Stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Bravo Bros.
Good job.
So without further ado, let's just head on into this conference call. Enter elevator music.
I love D23 because it's a chance for us at the Disney Company to give back to the fans that give us so much. And the D23 Expo is not about marketing. No. It's about showing them things that they wouldn't see anywhere else. Only here for our dedicated, loyal fans that mean so much to us. So I love D23.
The people who are here today, the people who are, they're the home team. They're the people who believe in it as much as we do.
And it's always a party. I mean, it's always just a wonderful time with people of a like mind coming together and just having a good time. And this is the ultimate example of that.
It's like Comic-Con with better security.
There you go.
Hello.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Jeffrey Epstein from D23. We want to thank you all very much for joining us for this call. We're looking forward to seeing many of you this weekend at the D23 Expo down in Anaheim. And we are especially excited for the spectacular concert on Saturday night, Richard M. Sherman and Alan Menken, the Disney Songbook. And we are fortunate enough to have Alan and Richard joining us today. We're going to start with about 15 minutes of questions with Alan. Richard will join us, and then we'll wrap up with quiz questions for Alan, for Richard. So, moderator, if we can get the first question, please.
Your first question comes from the line of Michelle Alexandra.
I'm sorry. I was waiting for instructions.
Hello.
Thank you for taking the time. And my question is just, can you talk a little bit about the Disney Songbook and what your favorite songs are and what you're looking most forward to playing for fans on Saturday?
Oh, my God.
I know it's broad, but...
Okay, see, I presume you mean the songs that aren't mine, or do you often include my songs in there?
Well... Let's be fair, include songs that aren't yours.
Yeah, good. Because that would be an impossible question for me. Obviously, all you know, my songs are my children. And, you know, the great thing about Disney songs is that they all live in a context. And so, you know, the movies I grew up with are the ones that I think most stick with me. So I loved, you know, Pinocchio. So songs like I Got No Strings, Your Mother and Mine from Dumbo. I mean, you know, it's hard to differentiate them because it's all part of, they were all so indelibly a part of the films that they were a part of. Feed the Birds, Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, the song... You, ooh, ooh, I want to be with you. It was all from Jungle Book. Love it. But, you know, it's, and of course, the classics like When You Wish Upon a Star. Regarding what I'm looking forward to sharing, you know, I'm looking forward to sharing the songs that people are familiar with and they have so much investment in, and also introducing them to some songs they've never heard before, but they, you know, they'll be really interested in the context of where those songs came from. So now take a song from Pocahontas called In the Middle of the River. You know, just to, so a Human Again, which I think people have heard, but haven't heard me perform it. I've never actually performed it, I don't think, in public. So it's a whole variety of things.
And then my second question would be, what is it about the Disney Songbook that touches people? Is it the fact that it's tied so closely to the movies, or can you just tell us from your perspective, what is it about Disney music?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is the fact that they are tied so specifically to movies where You know, they're not just songs that are slotted in randomly. The Disney songbook, you know, each song really, I think, encapsulates the experience of a different movie and a different era and a different character and a different time in the listener's life. So I think there's something really special about it. These songs, also there's no cynicism in the Disney songbook. It really is a very heartfelt, genuine storytelling that's in these songs. And I think people love that about them.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Ricky Brigette.
Hi there. Really looking forward to your performance coming up this weekend. Of course, you performed at Destination D for Disney fans last year.
Yeah.
The audience certainly loved hearing you play selections from, you know, all those timeless classics. From your perspective, what's it like to perform before all these big fans who eat, sleep, and breathe Disney? What do you get out of it personally?
It's fun. It really is fun. It's a really powerful shared experience. I'd be lying if I didn't say it's also not a kind of a pleasant ego trip. Because, you know, everything I'm doing up there, they're reacting so exuberantly to. It's just, you know, it's kind of great. You know, it's just great fun, really.
Do you sort of like being known as largely as the Disney songwriting guy? I mean, you've obviously had a lot of other work, but your Disney works are timeless. You know, they're classic.
Yeah, I love it. I do. I mean, the experience I have, you know, in general when I perform is like the D23, but not to that extent. It's, you know, it's interesting. I do a lot of performing often for young audiences, and they just go, you know, they kind of go crazy. It's wonderful. It's kind of, but with an adult audience, you know, there's a lack of cynicism again about the D23 audience. They're there to love it and have a great time. Nobody's sitting with their arms folded saying, "Show me." So it's, you know, there is something very special about that association and the Disney fans in particular.
Very true. Looking forward to it again. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Steffi Holland.
Hi, thank you for talking to us this morning.
My pleasure.
So I'm wondering, when you are writing a Disney song, do you feel like you need to approach it differently than if you're writing for another movie or another show, or is it sort of the same process?
Well, yeah, it's like the process for me is very much, you know, the process of writing a musical. And Disney has been the studio that has been, especially in our lifetime, the most supportive of writing songs in that way. The difference comes in it being Disney is a sense of responsibility, I think, to, you know, in terms of the message of the song and the approach to storytelling. You know that this is an audience that will embrace what you do and will take it to heart entirely. And so you really kind of have to cherish the audience very much as you write these songs and care about them, because the Disney tradition is, it's number one, it's a great American classic tradition, and it's also something where you don't want to go over certain lines. You want to poke fun, but you don't want to poke fun in a way that's hurtful. And the company is very sensitive to that. And once you've been associated with the company for a long time, you become very sensitive to that. But you definitely want to skate as close to that line as possible, because that's where all the fun is.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Your next question comes from the line of Vanessa Diaz.
Hi, Alan. This is Vanessa Diaz.
Hi, Vanessa.
I'm such a huge, huge, huge fan.
Thanks.
I cried that you didn't win the Oscar for Enchanted.
What'd you say? What was that last one? What?
I said I almost cried that you didn't win the Oscar for Enchanted.
Oh, well, you and me both.
I'm sorry. My question is, I've always, always been curious, how do you come up with the songs? Do you listen to the story and read the script, and then automatically, like, a melody comes to you? I've always been curious about the writing process.
In the writing process, the story doesn't get written without us. So we're basically in among the writers in saying, how are we going to tell the story so that it will be driven by songs? So we're very involved in what are the rules of our storytelling. And you want to make sure that an audience is very clear about what function are the songs going to have in this particular project. Sometimes they're very sincere and very heartfelt, as in like a Pocahontas, let's say. Sometimes mm-hmm. they're very tongue-in-cheek, as in mm-hmm. something like Enchanted or Aladdin, and so, my approach to the storytelling is, and to the songwriting is very, very influenced by the storytelling and making sure that the attitude is clear and the style is clear and the genre is clear and that people always have a moment where they go, oh, I get it. You're doing a French, like a Maurice Chevalier number, but it's for a candlestick.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you make those decisions, then the music flows quite easily from that.
Fantastic. And do you have any say as to the voices that get to sing the song?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We have a casting process just as you would, for a Broadway show.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for speaking with us.
You're welcome.
We have time for a couple more questions. If we can keep them brief and to the point, that would be awesome. Definitely want to get as many questions in as possible.
Your next question comes from the line of Stacey Wilson.
Hi.
Hi.
We're all really excited to hear about Frozen, and we know you can't talk about it, but I just wanted to know if maybe you could tell us how you felt compelled to write about the songs when it's kind of a new adaptation of The Ice Queen.
Oh, the Snow Queen. Well, that's not.
Sorry, my little girl was knocking on the door.
That's okay. That's not going to be my score.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Years ago, I was working on a version of Snow Queen for Disney, but right now that is actually being written by a very wonderful composer named Bobby Lopez and his wife Kristen.
Please forgive my blunder. I'm just a big Enchanted fan, and I'm new to everything, and just
don't
so happy to be talking to you. Thank you for everything you do.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Charlie Shelton.
Hi, I'm a big Alan Menken fan.
Hi.
Grown up in a world where Alan Menken is a household name. I was born in the same year Little Mermaid came out.
Oh.
So I've kind of always known you and always been a big fan, but for you to be performing on stage with Richard Sherman, another household name in music, is there any, fanboy nervousness when you're going to be up there performing with him?
No, not really, but, Dick is such a nice man. He's been an extraordinarily supportive presence in my life ever since I first came over to Disney. It's a relationship that he could have felt a little insecure or competitive, but he didn't. He just was welcoming and generous and warm. And so I consider, Richard Sherman to be a dear friend. And I just, I'm really looking forward to the two of us entertaining all the people. And then at the end, I think we're going to sit down together and get interviewed together. And I have no idea what that'll be like, but I presume we're going to have a lot of fun.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We have time for one more question, then we're going to add Richard in.
Your next question comes from the line of Brett Neckman.
Hi there. My question is, which of your more obscure Disney songs are you proudest of, and why?
Ah, good question. I'm very proud of Will the Sun Ever Shine Again. That was a song that was written very close to the 9/11 event, you know, with the Twin Towers. And we were all, especially in New York, in a real state of trauma. And that was a song that very much captured our emotion and the emotions of everyone at the studio when we wrote it. We all kind of associated it with that. Unfortunately, it was, you know, in a film that didn't do all that well. Let me see what else of the obscure. She's talking about things that maybe didn't make it into the movies.
Not just that, but also just songs that are maybe not as familiar. Or
I love, you know, I loved Gospel Truth, the song that opened up Hercules. I thought that song was a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed producing that and writing that. And let me think if I get one other that I can think of. If I Never Knew You from Pocahontas. We lost it first time around. We got it back when it was re-released. And I think it's a very emotional song, one that I'm very proud of. I guess those would be three examples of I guess, somewhat obscure songs. That
terrific. Cool. Well, let's... sorry, Alan.
Yes.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
So let's welcome fellow Disney legend Richard Sherman to the call, and Alan and Richard can answer some questions about the concert together. When referencing the event in the press, please make sure it's the D23 Expo. Sorry.
D23 Expo. Richard, are you there?
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Richard.
Hi.
How are you?
Who am I talking to?
Alan.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
I'm great. Look forward to seeing
you. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun, I know.
Yeah. All right. So now we're
great.
Yeah,
we have 20 minutes of questions with you guys together. Moderator, let's begin.
Your first question comes from the line of Jordan Pavlet.
Hi there, Alan, Richard. It's so great to be able to talk to you guys this morning. Thank you for taking the time.
Our pleasure.
Yeah, I mean, we're going straight to it, to the D23 Expo concert. So far as the song set list goes, was it difficult trying to go ahead and pinpoint or select certain songs that you wanted to highlight specifically? And what are you guys going to be doing on stage? Are you going to be playing piano or something like that?
You want to take it first, Alan, or do you want me to?
Sure. You know, it's always a challenge picking out just the right material for an audience. And we did have some requests from our hosts, at least I did. And the way they've structured it made it somewhat easy to decide on songs. And maybe the biggest challenge is which of the unknown songs or cut songs, you know, do I want to put in, and how do I want to contextualize them so it becomes interesting for the audience.
Yeah, the same thing with me. I think, you know, we have so many to choose from, and you sort of try to select. And what we try to do is do a potpourri, not a complete rundown of everything in one particular film, but just a sort of a sampling of the various things over the years that I did. So it was kind of a fun thing, like looking at all my children and saying, which one am I going to take on the outing?
Exactly. Could not agree more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we're just, I mean, so far as the sampling goes, I mean, it's going to be a long concert, but I'm sure it's going to fly by with what you guys have provided for us. But so far as
the question was, yes, we're just going to be at the piano playing and turning and talking to the audience, and it's just, you know, just
we're going to be our own accompaniment, so to speak. And I'll take a turn, then Alan take a turn, and then we're going to do a kind of a very special thing. We're going to get together and compare our a little bit about our histories and what our favorite pieces are, some of our most endearing pieces to us personally, and it'll be kind of a fun thing, you know.
And it'll be a little bit of a peek at some of our non-Disney things, too.
Exactly. We're going to touch on a couple of things that put us in the position of being at Disney.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Cool.
Your next question comes from the line of Chuck Mawachi.
Hello, Chuck.
Hello.
Hi.
The question that I wanted to ask was, you know, when Alan was in New York at 54 Below, they did an evening of Unsung Menken, and it really was a fantastic night It was fun. Is there going to be, from both of you, those kinds of songs as well, where it's, you know, here's a song that was cut out of this show, or here's a song that we put in but it never made it in, and those, that kind of thing, for, you know, in the evening as well?
Well, Alan, in my case, I'm not going to do too many things that are not well known, because I was asked to kind of hit the highlights. So I'm not doing too many little known things, but that's in my particular case.
Yeah, it's true for me too. I think I'm doing a little snippet of a song that did not make it into Pocahontas. And I'm trying to think if there's other. There's so many songs that people, you know, so some of them are going to be lesser known because they're for the Broadway shows, you know.
But still, but they are known. I mean,
they are known.
They've been heard by the public.
Yep.
And I think there's a whole unique world that we'll have to do another concert, Alan, one day with the unknown Sherman and the unknown Menken song.
That's fun.
That would be fun. And just say all the songs that might have been, you know, and we'll just wallow in our own self-pity.
The trunks are fun. I mean, they really are fun. And I got to say, you're right, that evening at 54 Below was a lot of fun for me. It's because I had no involvement. They just sort of picked that song, so it was great.
Well, that's the way we're going to be hitting, for the most part, highlights in our Disney career, and that's what it's all about. It's a Disney songbook, really, with a few little extras popped in.
Exactly.
Your next question comes from the line of Dave Perfit.
Hello, Dave.
Hi there. How are you doing, Richard? How are you doing, Alan?
Fine.
Both of you have films that have been made into theatrical productions, and I was wondering if there's any Disney film that you're dying to have made into a theatrical production.
Oh, sure.
I think everyone, Alan has certainly the record in this by far, but there's a couple of things that I'm kind of looking forward to seeing a stage.
You have the Jungle Book coming, right?
The Jungle Book is now on its feet, and it's in Chicago. It's going to go to Boston, and I have another couple of things, you know. But I don't want to talk too much until it's a reality, you know. But of course, I was very lucky with Poppins and Chitty Bang Bang, and I had a couple of things that have hit Broadway.
I would. It'll be neat to see Hercules. Come. We're working on a cruise ship version of Tangled, and who knows if that'll find its way to the stage. I mean, Enchanted, again, people talk about these things, but there's a limit to how many things, you know, you don't want to overdo that particular move.
Exactly. But, it's so many factors have to take place before it becomes a reality. And so I've always felt a little nervous about talking about too many things unless they're really on the road to happening.
Yeah.
It's a little dangerous. Because then you say, well, whatever happened to that plan? Oh, yeah, then it hurts.
Yeah.
Am I right, Alan?
Yeah, although I tend to be a little more of a blabbermouth sometimes.
Well, that's all right. It's very good to be that way, too.
Yeah.
Your next question comes from the line of David Freeland.
Hello, David.
Hello, gentlemen. I was wondering if either both of you could share if there's been a surprise song that's taken off in popularity from one of the films that you've done. You know, I think sometimes it seems like songwriters write all these wonderful songs, and then people end up latching on to one of the songs from the film. And I'm sure there's been times when you thought, wow, that's the song people, you know, latched on to. That's great, but didn't expect that.
Richard, why don't you take this one?
Well, you know, I don't know. It's a funny thing about when we did Poppins. I remember my Bob and I. Somebody said, "Which is the one that's going to happen?" And I remember my brother said, "I'm absolutely sure it's going to be Stay Awake." You know, it was just a little lullaby, but he loved it, and it never stood out on its own. And I remember saying, "Well, I don't know. I think Chim Chim Chirree will never be popular. It's just so it's a minor thing, you know, and it's about a chimney sweep, and that became a gigantic hit for us. So, you know, I was not a good predictor of that.
I have a similar story with Little Mermaid, where Kiss the Girl was really the song we thought of as being our single. And of course, Under the Sea is the song that really emerged. Part of Your World is a song we almost lost entirely because just what, you know.
I love that song. I think that's beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Beautiful song.
But you know, it wasn't necessarily working at one point in the film. Of course, the biggest surprise of all was what happened with Newsies, where Newsies was something that just slid off the radar completely, you know, for 20 years, and now found a way back to Broadway, which is sort of
jaw-dropping. It's wonderful. It's a great show, too. So that's your answer. We can't predict. You know, you never know. It's very, very hard to figure.
Yeah.
Your next question comes from the line of Alicia Pitcher.
Hi there, gentlemen.
Hello.
So nice to talk to you. And Mr. Sherman, I interviewed you a few years ago with Milt Larson at the Magic Castle about supercalifragilistic.
Well done, Steve. You said it. Almost.
A musical, almost. It was a great honor, and you were both a lot of fun. So nice to talk with you again.
Thank you.
So my question is for both of you, but I'll start out with you, Mr. Sherman. I know Saving Mr. Banks is coming up, and I wanted to know if you're excited to see yourself played on film. And I will also...
Alisa, can we keep the questions more related to the concert, please? I'm sorry about that, but we just have limited time, and we want to make sure that, that it's related to the music, not the studio film.
No worries.
Thanks.
I will ask you then, are there any surprises in store for this weekend that people will be... blown away by, and if so, can you
I think they're going to be blown away by the fact that that Alan is going to be playing these great songs that he's written, and I'm going to be playing the great songs that my brother Bob and I wrote, and it's just I think that's the thing, it's seeing it in person, and of course, for the first time, Alan and I are going to be conversing together. There's a third section in this show where we're going to be together and sort of comparing our roots and where it came from and everything. And I think that's kind of exciting.
It
and
is.
Also, we're going to sing a few other songs, one or two songs that are very special to us, very personal, and why and everything. So all those things are going to be interesting.
Yeah,
it'll be a very unique event, and I don't think people realize how far. You know, Richard is such a supportive person to me when I first came to Disney. And, you know, we have a very warm relationship. People don't know about our friendship, but it's...
Oh, no, it's not only a friendship, but a very admiring friendship.
And a very exclusive club.
A very, oh, yeah, two members. Hello?
Your next question comes from the line of Stephanie Holland.
Hi. So I'm wondering, you both have had such a unique, specific experience in songwriting and in being related to Disney. Do you feel like when you get to perform together like this, is it sort of like a special fraternity that only certain people can really understand?
Yeah. Well, you want to kick it off, or do you want me to?
Well, I guess maybe you're not hearing the answers that we're giving other people when they can, because we're saying exactly this thing, that we both are a part of a very exclusive club.
Oh, I know. It's a very, first of all, we both have, now we can say, long histories with the Disney organization. I had the great, superb honor of working with the genius himself, with Walt Disney, and it was very special. I always felt honored that I was working for his company and for him, really, when he was with us. And Alan, I know, feels the same about the company, because what it represents is...
I'm in awe that you got to work with Walt. That's amazing.
Luckily, you know, timing is everything in this world. But I must say that Walt set a high standard for the both of us when he had these great songwriters of the past that wrote the great scores for Pinocchio and all these wonderful, wonderful pictures that came before our time. And before, so it was kind of a high mark for us to work for. And I think wholesome, beautiful entertainments that uplift the spirit are very special, and they're not depressing, they're uplifting, and that's what's wonderful, and we're lucky to have done that kind of work.
Yeah, and also we're lucky to be involved with, you know, a studio that creates films that are such a supportive platform to non-cynical material.
Exactly.
To things that are catchy and accessible and emotional and
know,
there's a love affair between the audience and the songs at Disney. That's such a unique opportunity for songwriters like us.
Oh, I know. It's great. Well, for example, there's going to be a vast auditorium, and we're going to be feeling like we're singing to our relatives because everybody loves the Disney aura, and they love what we've done and the films we've been involved with. So you can't lose. It's a great feeling.
It's great. Yeah, it's amazing.
Thank you so much. It's a real honor to talk with you both.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Ricky Brigitti.
Hi, Ricky.
Hey, Ricky.
Hi there. I wanted to know, obviously you're going to be going through a lot of great songs that you both have written over the years. If each of you could say what your favorite is that the other wrote.
Oh, that's interesting. Let me see. Well, Alan's written so many gorgeous, gorgeous songs. He's a great melody writer, wonderful harmonies. I mean, all these wonderful things. There's so many.
There's so many. I mean, it really. I mean, you have Jungle Book coming up, and there's some songs in there that are just amazing. But let me think.
I don't want to pick one, but there's so many.
No, I guess I have to pick one. You know, you look at Supercalifragilistic, and I know that's so known, and it's. But that's really, there could not have been an Under the Sea without a Supercalifragilistic. And, and it's the combination of the exuberance, the rhythm, the cleverness of the lyric, and the catchiness of it. It just gets, you know, sort of into your system. And that's
an explosion of emotion.
Yeah. And it sets the standard. It sets the bar for what, you know, Howard and I did.
Thank you so much. Well, I feel... I mean, you and Howard particularly wrote so many incredibly gorgeous songs, but one of the songs that gets to me more than I think, well, I like so many. I fell in love with a song called Suddenly Seymour, which you wrote for a show way, way back before I knew you and everything. But I said, that's such a passionate song. It's a wonderful explosion of emotion. And then I think as part of your world gets to me. That really just does it. I just love that song. So, you know, there's so many that he's written, but if you try to pick one, it's impossible.
You have to sort of pick one out of a hat kind of.
You know something, we're both fans of each other's, and I think that makes it kind of fun.
Yeah, and as songwriters, we're really fans of the fact that we each have Richard has a unique voice, and that's in common through his work, and he comes through in his work, and I think I come through in my work, and that really, you know, each song is just a manifestation of that voice.
Yeah, the feel we have about life and about people and about music and about what we're trying to say with our gifts, because, you know, you don't take too many big, deep bows for a gift. You're just gifted with that, and it's what you do with it that's important.
Absolutely.
Great. Thanks very much, Knight.
Hello?
Hello?
I think Ricky's line disconnected.
Oh, Ricky's line disconnected.
Okay.
Okay, well, you want to get him back or get somebody else and get him back later?
Your next question comes from the line of Charlie Shelton.
Hello, Charlie.
Hi. Now that I have both of you here, I just want to say thank you so much for everything you've both contributed to the field and to Disney over the years. And you both together made my childhood magical. It's wonderful.
Thank you.
So other than the concert that you're both performing, what else are you looking forward to see at the D23 Expo? Are there any exhibits or movies coming up or anything else that you're looking forward to?
Oh.
Well, there's a world of wonderful, wonderful experiences to be seen at that exhibit. And I mean, to single out any specific thing, you know, both of us we've been sitting at our pianos making sure that we don't make clinkers when we perform. So it's hard to, you know, concentrate on what else is going on, but I know that we'll be watching and looking at a lot of things.
Yeah, and there'll be a lot of friends there. A lot of, you know, friends who we've known through the years and people who we'll be meeting that are new. I think it's mostly sort of a very sort of it's an experience that is oriented towards being with people more than with exhibits for us.
And sort of experiencing the joy that's being exuberated by all these people.
Exuberated.
You like that? I made that.
I like that. I do. See, that you just witnessed where the Sherman Brothers brilliance comes from.
Make the word work for you. You know,
it
just push it a little bit.
Exuberated. I love that.
Oh, thank you. How do you
thank you very
that
much.
Now. Hello.
All right, I think we have time for one more question before we let Alan drop off, and then we'll go just to solo questions for Richard.
Oh, okay.
Your next question comes from the line of Ron Sylvester.
Hello, Warren.
Hi. Hi. Hey, Mr. Sherman, during the last part of Alan's questions, he talked about, and he mentioned it again, how much you welcomed him when he came on to Disney. Can you talk a little bit about that time and, you know, how you, you know, in your support for him when he, you know, came into this?
Well, you see, I didn't know Alan at all, but I did know, I felt I knew him in a sense through his wonderful songs and his melodies. And I realized this guy really writes the way I like to write, the way where you have a tangible commodity when you're hearing the song, and not just a bunch of notes and words coming at you. Like a lot of things were like that, and I said this man can carry on a wonderful tradition that was I was inspired by people who were melodists, and that's what I wanted to be, and I was thrilled that the young team, this Alan Menken and Howard Ashman, the wonderful lyricist, who passed away, but he was just the team was great, and I said, "Oh God, welcome! These guys are going to be great," and they were.
I got to say, there was a graciousness and a generosity in Richard that is unique in our business. I mean, truly unique. It's something that, to my dying day, I will always appreciate.
Oh.
No, that's true. And it's a very rare quality in him as a person. And that's, you know, that's something that you sense in his songs, but it really is there in the man. And, you know, the way he and his wife have treated me has been so generous that I think it's had an immense effect on my feelings about being at Rick Disney.
Oh, that's very thankful. I mean, I appreciate that so very much. You try to be. That's the way it is. You know, I recognize a beautiful thing, and that's what it's all about.
It's a rare quality, Richard.
Ah, thanks.
It is.
Thanks.
Alan, thank you so much for joining us. We really
hey, Richard, I look forward to seeing you in a few days.
Absolutely. Keep practicing now.
All right, I'll be practicing, and you too.
Okay, pal.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, now we'll just take questions for Richard.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Jordan Polite.
Hey, hello. Richard, it's me again.
Hi,
I just wanted to go ahead and, of course, you know, bring up, of course, your brother, you know, who's been gone for a couple of years now. What would he have felt? I mean, would he be enthusiastic like you if he were to perform with you guys this Saturday at the Expo?
Well, let's put it this way. Bob never was much of a performer. He was always a little bit on the shy side. But he would have been out on the stage with me and joined me in a couple of gang song, you know, choruses and stuff to keep it fun and everything, and we'd kibitz a little together. But unfortunately, Bob isn't here with me, and I'm representing the both of us. You know, that's what I do.
Right.
Right. Yeah, I think, but speaking onto like, about just like him and relating to Disney fans, I mean, did he know that everyone appreciated the work that you guys put in?
Sure. I think so. Yeah, I do. I really do.
Cool. Well, we'll miss him. We still miss him, but we're grateful that you're here with us.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Sure.
Your next question comes from the line of Brett Nankin.
Hi there.
Hello, Brett.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great, thank you.
Thank you. Well, my question is in regards to which of your songs you feel was the most challenging to develop and why?
Of all the songs, you know, every time there's a blank page, it's a challenge. It's always a mess and a challenge, and you're going crazy. How am I going to say it, and what's the best way to say it and everything? I think we were trying to top a song that we had done in Poppins. We were working on Mary Poppins, and we were trying to top a very pretty song that we had written, and we were told this song is not going to work in there. We want something with a little more pep in it and say the same thing, but say it in a very very up way as opposed to this ballad that we had written. And we were trying to come up with a slogan, a sort of a saying like Step in Time, that's one of our slogans, wait a second, a Stitch in Time Saves Nine, or An Apple a Day Keeps a Doctor Away, that kind of a little slogan that Mary Poppins could sing that would give the children the idea that if you have a happy attitude, a hard job becomes easy. Or easier, at least. And my brother's son, Jeff, came home from school one day and said he had the Salk vaccine. And Bob said, did it hurt? And the little guy says, no, they put the medicine on a cube of sugar, and then we took it like candy. It was easy. And Bob came in the next day, and he had a great title. He said, I got a title for us, A Spoonful of Sugar Helps the Medicine Go Down. I said, oh, my God, that's terrible. No, wait, no, oh, it's wonderful. And that, I think, we were trying for weeks to come up with, to top this ballad we had written with a bright song that said the same thing. And what finally, it would all gel, that became a really big smash hit for us, and that was A Spoonful of Sugar. So, yeah, that was a tough one.
Yeah, what a great memory. Thanks for sharing.
You're welcome.
You have a follow-up question for Stephanie Holland.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hi. It's such an honor to speak with you. I have to tell you that Mary Poppins is just my favorite movie in the whole world.
Oh, well, bless you. Thank you.
And so I'm wondering, for you, is there one song or movie that your fans come up to talk to you about more than the others, maybe besides Mary Poppins, because that one, I guess, everybody loves?
Oh, everybody loves Mary Poppins. A lot of people love one of the non-Disney pictures that everybody thinks is a Disney picture is Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. And everybody always comes up and they say, that's one of my favorite Disney pictures. I said, it's not a Disney picture, but Walt gave us permission to go to England to do Chitty Chitty Bang Bang for Cubby Broccoli. But if you ask me my favorite, I think it has to be Mary Poppins, my favorite picture. And my favorite song happens to be very sentimental to me because Walt Disney just adored Feed the Birds. He thought that said so much, which we try to do. We try to say it doesn't take much to give love, to give it tuppence a bag. It's symbolic of, it's not about breadcrumbs and it's not about money. It's about, it doesn't take much to give a kind deed, a smile, to give love, to take your kids out and show them a good time. And that's what we were trying to say in the song. And Walt got it immediately, giving oneself. And it doesn't take much to do that, to give a warm thing. And so I love Feed the Birds. I think that's got to be my favorite.
Oh, thank you.
That was Walt's favorite. He made no bones about that. Yeah.
You have a follow-up question from Ricky DeGette.
Hello, Ricky.
Hi there. Hopefully everyone can hear me now. I'm not sure what happened before, but I was wondering, you know, of course you've written songs for Disney films, Disney attractions. Do you enjoy composing for one or the other more? And, you know, what's the biggest difference between writing for the two different, you know, styles?
In answer to your question, there is absolutely no difference whatsoever. A job is a job. You have to write for a character or for a the character of an experience like A Small World or like Carousel of Progress or one of those things. You write what's appropriate, and every job is a challenge. And I've always loved writing different kinds of songs. And when we first saw audio animatronic figures being featured in a thing called the Enchanted Tiki Room, we came up with a little calypso song called the Tiki 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 Room, and it would fit perfectly for that. And we weren't writing for a character or a person or a singer or anything else. It's just every job is its own individual thing. Just like if you're writing for fictional characters like Winnie the Pooh, a little stuffed teddy bear, and you have to get his personality. So you write him, and he has a friend called Tigger, for example, and he's a bouncy little a stuffed tiger. So you have to write a song that sounds like him. So we wrote The Wonderful Thing About Tiggers, because it bounces up and down like him. And everything is its own challenge, whether it be a building or a fictional character or a marvelous make-believe lady like Mary Poppins. Everyone's different. And if you're doing Jungle Book and there's an animal there that's a ferocious let's call him a ferocious gorilla, and we want to make him funny, we call him the King of the Swingers, and he becomes a jazz man, and we do I Want to Be Like You for the King of the Swingers, King Louie. So everyone's different, and everyone's a challenge.
Great, and I assume we'll be hearing both film and attractions in the upcoming
concert? You'll be hearing a lot of stuff from me that you'll know, but I'll sing them the way I first did them, sure.
Wonderful, thank you.
You're welcome.
You have a follow-up question from Charlie Shelton.
Okay.
Speaking of attractions, attraction music, there's something about the music that you and your brother did that's catchy and memorable almost to the point of driving someone insane with It's a Small World, and particularly for me, Miracles for Molecules. It's one of those songs you just get in your head that can't get out. How do you do that over and over again to make songs that are catchy enough to not sound really repetitive, but then they just get stuck in your head somehow?
It's a funny thing, but I come from a very musical family, and my father was a very successful songwriter back in the 30s, or 20s, and the 30s and 40s. His name was Al Sherman, and my dad wrote very catchy tunes, and I used to listen to all his songs, and I loved the way he wrote melodies, that they really grabbed hold of you, and they were very definitely something you could take with you. And that was one of the things that I have a musical talent, so I could pick that up. And so I always tried to write something that's fresh and original, and yet very catchy, and something that's easily accessible. And so basically I'm not trying to be, look how brilliant I am. I'm trying to be, look how fun I am. There's a difference. And I write fun songs that are kind of as original as I possibly can be, with catch little phrases and all that stuff. And the lyrics are very, very part of this song, if you have a very catchy idea. And so Bob and I both work very hard to get the right lyric, the right words, so that the melodies can soar.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We have a follow-up question from Dave Prickett.
Hello, Dave.
Hi, Richard.
Hi.
I wanted to, first of all, applaud you for your longevity. It's actually simply amazing.
There's not much of an alternative, you know.
but you've just been so prolific, too. I mean, working from Mary Poppins, going on up to Iron Man 2, Jungle Book opening last month, to performing this weekend. So what's your secret?
I have a good time. I never feel like I'm working. I'm always having – it's just this – I was blessed from the time early on when I can finally say I made a living as a songwriter. I was always blessed with doing my hobby. My hobby was writing songs. I mean, I would be happy to do it without getting any money for it. It's just I loved writing songs, and I loved the challenge of writing different kind of things. And so it was always kind of a fun thing for me. And I guess I owe it to the fact that I have a good time at it. I mean, if I didn't, I'd have retired years ago. But people want my stuff, and they want my opinions and my feelings about how something's going to happen, and occasionally they want a song from me, so I'm happy to do it, sure. And it keeps me going. I'm 85 years old, but I don't feel it. I can't See, I have my health, thank God, and I have my enthusiasm. I've always been that way.
You can tell. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We have a follow-up question from Chuck Malachi.
Hello, Chuck.
Hey, Richard. Going back to when you were talking about how you were writing songs for Eight Tigger or Winnie the Pooh, you were writing them for these characters.
Right.
Did you also write them with the stars who are voicing these characters in mind as well? Or was it solely based on the character, or did you use a combination of the actor and the character?
That's a good question, and the only thing I can say is 90%, I would say 90% of the songs that we wrote for Disney films in particular were written for the characters in the play, in the screenplay, the characters in the story. And 5% or 10% might have been, we knew ahead of time that Marie Chevalier, for example, was going to be cast in a certain voice role or something like that. We knew we'd have to write a certain style of song for him. And so therefore we would cater our thinking toward that. But for the most part, it was written for character, the character in the play, not the personality. We had no idea that we'd get the glorious voice of Julie Andrews to sing Mary Poppins. All we knew was we wrote songs for Mary Poppins to sing, not for Julie Andrews to sing. By the same token, Angela Lansbury in Bedknobs and Broomsticks. We did not know Angela was going to play that part. All we knew was we had to write for Eglantine Price, the character who she was playing.
All right. Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Your next question comes from the line of Vanessa Diaz.
Hello, Vanessa.
Hi, Richard. Thanks so much for speaking with us. I have to say it was like the highlight of my life seeing you play on Walt's piano not too long ago.
Oh, yeah? Good, good.
My question is, are you and Alan going to do any kind of medley together, kind of joining of all the songs?
No. What we're going to be doing is I'm going to be doing a lot of the great familiar songs, well-known songs, let's call them that Bob, my brother Bob and I wrote over the years for Disney. And then Alan is going to do a great bunch of wonderful songs that he wrote for the Disney organization. And then together, we're going to reminisce about our roots, how we got started. And then we're going to talk about songs that are very personally close to us, that we personally feel very strongly about. And we will swap stories and swap singing and playing for each other. It'll be a very nice, intimate kind of a thing. It's going to be very, very nice. I think you'll find it's going to be Old Holmes Week because we both have a very mutual admiration for each other. And so it makes it very nice.
Oh, fantastic. I can't wait to see it. It's going to be the highlight of my D23.
Oh, great. Well, there's going to be three parts. It's going to be myself, then it's going to be Alan, and then it's going to be both of us.
Fantastic. Thank
great.
You.
You're welcome.
You have a follow-up question from Brett Manan.
Hello, Brett.
Hi again. I have a question for you. I had asked this earlier to Al Macon, and I'm wondering the same for you. Which of your more obscure Disney songs are you proudest of, and why?
Oh, that's a good question. Obscure. Let's see. Well, you know, we're both going to be doing that in the course of this third section of this thing. We're both going to be talking about our most personal song that we're very deeply involved, proud of, or sentimentally attached to. And basically, I know that I'm not going to give anything out of the bag, but I'm saying I'm going to sing something that is obscure. It's not thought of as one of my big hits or anything like that, but I personally have a great deal of attachment to it. And Alan's going to do a one that he also feels very strongly attached to that is not well known.
Very cool. I look forward to hearing it.
Great. It's going to be, I don't want to tell you because that's going to be a surprise for everybody. You know, it's a little different than what you expect.
No worries. I look forward to being surprised as well.
Great.
All right, we have time for one more question, please.
Sure.
You have a follow-up question from Jordan Police.
Hello.
Sadly, I got disconnected right before the very last question. But luckily, I was able to ask some of the other people who were on the conference call what that very last question was. Shelley from On the Go in MCO, which is a theme park podcast in Orlando, Florida. She was able to fill me in on what was the very last question. And she said that, to paraphrase, he was asked that what did he enjoy most about performing? And in reply, Richard Sherman said he gets the biggest gratification when he gets to see people having fun and hearing his songs. Aww. Yeah, so good. This was a great interview, and I'm glad I was able to share it with you guys. If you have any questions or want to see any of the other information that we've gathered through D23 Expo, head on over to our website, www.therotoscopers.com. You can also find us on Twitter and Facebook, The Rotoscopers, Hypable.com, and AnimatedViews.com. You can find me on Twitter at Chelsea Robson. You can also find my website at ChelseaRobson.com, which will take you to my Facebook at the moment, but eventually I'll have other stuff up there too. You can find Morgan at Morgan Stradling on Twitter. You can also find Mason on Twitter at MasonSMTX, like San Marcos, Texas. So check everybody out. We're glad to have you, and we're excited for our next episode. I almost forgot. Hey, we're going to do mail.
Excited for your MU episode, Rotoscopers. I think that, firstly, a lot of people will be surprised at this movie, and I think they'll be pleasantly surprised. Watching MU makes me want to go there, to a place where I can learn, I can love to learn and learn what I love. I thought the world was so fully realized, leaps and bounds, really shows you how far Pixar and animation studios in general have gotten as far as realizing an entire world. Loved it. Amazing. Looking forward to the episode.
Hey guys, I'm Kynan. I'm from Australia and I wanted to get on your show. So, a couple of quick things. One, I have never actually seen the movie Robin Hood, but I've seen the trailers, and I've seen the trailers for the videos, I've gone on, seen the theatre trailers, whoops, stupid me, on YouTube, and it looks okay. It doesn't look like the best movie. It looks kind of stuck in its age period, but I'm interested to hear your thoughts. Also, I've got a couple of things. One, would you ever consider doing a episode on the movie Hercules? I think it's a very underrated film from 90s animation, because it is generally seen as the lesser of the Disney Renaissance films. But I think it has some of the best music, animation, and characters. They just don't fit as well as all the others in our minds of what is epic. Two, did you see the Frozen teaser trailer that was recently released? It's actually really bad. I did not like it. There was only the reindeer and the snowman, and it was bad. The animation was average looking. I don't understand why the reindeer was acting like a dog. Like, it was just annoying to me. It didn't look like anything we'd been promised. And finally, did you know that the Beauty and the Beast sequel, Beauty and the Beast and the Enchanted Christmas, was originally slated to be a theatrical sequel, but was brought down to a direct-to-video after the high performance of the direct-to-video film Return of Jafar. And also that some of the higher class direct-to-video films like Bambi 2, Lion King 2, Cinderella 3, I think may have gotten this, Tarzan 2, a bunch of them, were actually released theatrically in some countries. Just some food for thought. Until next time, Rotoscopers, Kynan out. Peace.
All right, in the answer to your question, yeah, I love Hercules. It's probably one of my absolute favorite shows. I was able to actually see that one on the Disney cruise. As Ellen Macon talked about in this interview that we just listened to, that one actually did go to the cruise line, and it was so good. Like, oh, I really wish they would have put that on Broadway, but oh, c'est la vie. Yes, we did get to see the new trailers. You can find all of our reviews for those on the YouTube channel. That first trailer for me, you know, it wasn't the best one. It was definitely geared more toward the kids. But I do think as the marketing continues, they are going to be gearing some of the other trailers to more age groups. And that's very interesting that you brought that up, that some of those direct-to-video sequels have actually gone theatrical in some countries. Makes sense, but cool. I didn't know that. Thanks, Kenneth.
Hello, Rotoscopers! Esther here. I hope you're having a bright and cheery summer. First, I want to say that your Robin Hood episode was hilarious, and I have to agree, the movie is quotable, lots of gags, and I'm a fan of the visual funny parts. My favorite scene is at the end of the tournament when Glady Cluck is being chased by the guards. Seize the fat one! And it turns into a football match and she goes flying all over the place. It's great. As a fan of Riders of the Guardians, I want to thank you for being so prompt in fulfilling our requests. You listen to your fans. Yay! And I do have to justify the joys of a snow day since I'm from the state of Indiana. And growing up there as a kid was cool because a snow day means there's so much snow on the ground that school is closed. Which is great because when that means you don't have any homework and you get to watch more cartoons. And unlike playing with Legos or building blocks, you can go outside and build as big a snow fort or make as many snowmen as you want to. The sky is the limit. Now I know when you grow up, you have to shovel out the driveway and that's not as thrilling. But you get hot chocolate afterwards. And I will admit the first snowfall of the season is very romantic. So here's a nerdy couch discussion. If the Rotoscopers were guardians, what would you be the guardians of? I know I'd be the guardian of cookies because I love to bake. Bringing things into work, parties, showers. College girls love their cookies. In fact, I've got a batch of caramel brownies that need rescuing. So, looking forward to your next podcast. Much appreciation from Esther. Bye!
Esther, thank you so much for leaving us that voicemail. It was awesome. Really made us smile. Oh, man, what would I be as far as a guardian? It's a hard question. I'm not exactly sure what guardian I would be at the moment, but I can say is, as the guardian of cookies, you can come to my house anytime you want. Maybe we'll have to discuss that on another episode one of these days. We are so glad for every voicemail that we receive. Keep them coming. You guys are awesome. This next episode is actually going to be a listener choice. So head on over to the website, therotoscopers.com, and you can look on the far right-hand side. There is a poll. So pick one of the movies that's up on that list, and you can be a part of our next episode. Polling ends August 14th, 2013, so get on over there. This was such a great episode. Thanks again for joining me. Until next time, everybody. My name is Chelsea Robson, and you are listening to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers.
They just leaked some footage from the movie Frozen. If you guys are interested in viewing it, it's only like a minute, maybe less or so. It's on Tumblr. You can find it at Frozen's Princess Anna. It's kind of cool. It's Kristoff and Anna running away from some giant snowman, and Olaf's there with them. It's kind of cute. Might be worth checking out.